to Universal Credit. It is rolled out this week in Northern Ireland, but the SDLP deputy leader Nicola Mallon has called for it to be scrapped here amid claims that it could push claimants into debt. We can talk to Nicola now. Good morning, Nicola.
Good morning, Binay.
Also with us, the businessman and former chair of the Conservatives in Northern Ireland, Erwin Armstrong. Good morning, Erwin.
Good morning, Binay. Good morning, Nicola.
Nicola, there'll be many that will say, well, of course Nicola Mallon is saying to scrap it. That's the easy thing to say, and that's what will be popular among people that vote for you.
No, it's not. That's the case, not the case at all. This call is made on the basis of the evidence that has been clearly provided from the implementation of universal credit in England, Scotland and Wales. It's not just the SDLP saying it. The advice sector right across the board, people dealing at the front line in England, Scotland and Wales are saying that there are serious difficulties and faults with this system in terms of its operation, but also in terms of its impact. It is pushing more people into poverty. There are more individuals and families reliant on food banks, and homelessness has actually gone up. And that can all be directly correlated with the implementation of universal credit.
Okay, 030 30 80 55 55 on the phones this morning. Is it fair to say, Nicola, that these calls from you, your party, and maybe the likes of the Alliance Party as well, they're going to fall on deaf ears? Are the Tories really going to listen to you?
Well, the Tories have never been renowned for having an acute ear to people who find themselves in need, but that doesn't make that you shouldn't make the call. We voted against universal credit in both Westminster and welfare cuts in Northern Ireland Assembly. But what we're saying is, if the minister responsible for universal credit is listening intently because he's concerned about the impact that this is having and that there's talk that a pause is being considered, then surely we shouldn't be rushing ahead with the rollout here.
You have described universal credit as an unmitigated disaster. It is, of course, it's been rolled out across the water. So what excuse can you really make to the Tories for us to be a special case here?
Well, what we would ask, first of all, is that they give clear consideration based on evidence to the impact that universal credit is having in England, Scotland and Wales, where it already has been implemented. As I say, the evidence is there to show that it's pushing people into rent arrears. We're talking about vulnerable people not receiving payments up to 6 weeks. Citizens Advice is saying that they're actually aware of cases across the water where people are waiting up to 10 weeks for payment. Now, these people don't have huge amounts of savings to fall back on. We have a digital system, so it's all online. I know from my constituency office, there's a significant amount of people out there of all ages who don't have email, who don't actually know how to operate computers and online systems. And then we've had the furore recently about whether for your ID you can use your Irish passport or your Northern Ireland driver's license.
Okay.
Again, emphasising that we are significantly unprepared for this.
Erwin Armstrong, it's difficult to argue against the point that this has been a troubled system in terms of its implementation across the water.
Yes, I think there
are. So should we not sort that? Let them sort that out before we bring it in here?
Well, I think David Gok, who's responsible for it, yesterday said that by and large all the problems have been resolved. There were teething problems. So he is confident that the system is now working.
There you go, Nicola Mallon. So the system is working. All those little issues have been ironed out.
Well, if we even look at the Guardian newspaper yesterday, it ran a very evidence-based piece about the impact, and it doesn't describe it as teething problems. People who are forced onto the streets because they're homeless, people who have seen, I think it's a 60% increase in the number of people reliant on food banks in England. Certainly, I would not describe that as teething problems.
Erwin, universal credit making financial abuse easier. That was a BBC Wales headline, I think, only yesterday. And that report claimed that the Welsh Women's Aid said universal credit, which obviously it combines multiple benefits into one, I think it's six into one, was enabling financial abuse. But yet you're saying, oh, they've ironed it out. It's ready for Northern Ireland. Let's bring it in.
I think one of the big issues in England and Wales is one that they have changed for Northern Ireland, is that rent is payable to the claimant in England and Wales. In Northern Ireland, it's payable directly to the landlord. So that cuts out the abuse of what the rent money is actually spent on, which was one of the big issues. But I think we need to step back and look, why were these changes made? And I think, as you said, there were six different benefits rolled back into one, which simplifies things considerably. But the objective of doing this was we are currently $1.7 trillion in debt in the United Kingdom, and by and large increasing, although maybe not in the last couple of months. That we cannot sustain that because our interest bill would fund the health service. We need to reverse that. We can't keep living on tomorrow's children and grandchildren.
I understand that, but there'll be many, Irwin, saying this morning, talking to the radio and saying, look, this is going to affect people, though, the low-income families that are struggling already, and so we're maybe targeting the debt issues in the country by targeting the vulnerable people that we have. Why don't we raise taxes, for example, and try and counter it that way?
Yeah, no, that's always a possibility, though not very much among the people who pay the taxes that pay the benefits. I mean, a lot of taxpayers look at it and say, why are we paying for all these people that aren't contributing to society? Because one of the very interesting things that's happened in England,
you're making such a sweeping statement. They're not contributing to society. So there, that's that stigma that we quite often paint people on benefits with, that if you're on benefits, it's because you just can't be bothered. And is that fair?
No. That's the very point I was coming to, Vinny. The point is that where this has actually been fully rolled out in England, across about 8% of the areas, the job claimant total has risen by 29%. I.e., because of the change in the way the benefits are allocated, if there are two people in a household claiming benefits, now both of them have to be seeking work, just not the one of them. So that is pushing more people to actually go and seek employment.
Okay.
So there's a 29% increase in people actually signing on to get work.
Let's not forget as well that there people can get benefits even if they are working. Yeah, so there are working benefits as well here. I want to take a few calls on this. Graham in Portadown. Go ahead, Graham.
Good morning, Billy.
Good morning.
This is just my opinion, cynical election here. On a mass populist vote, which he knows is going to be very popular for the future.
You're talking to Nicola there.
Yes, of course. And when she relies on our evidence, which you referred to a few minutes ago from the newspaper, that sort of undermines our argument. At the end of the day, we are part of the United Kingdom. Why should we not exactly have the same system? Yes, the system has faults in it. Yes, they will be ironed out over time. But we're not a special case. Why are we putting out the begging bowl and trying to be something special?
Nicola?
Okay. The SDLP has not come to this issue just in the last couple of days. In 2011, we voted against this in Westminster. We've been consistent in votes in the Assembly. Throughout the summer, we were working with the advice sector across Northern Ireland and have been in constant contact with the Department for Communities because we have been concerned. We've also written to all party leaders asking them to stand united with the advice sector, those on the front line, to call for a halt at minimum to this system, given the evidence of its impact across the water where it has been implemented. I referred to the Guardian article simply to say that when Irwin was saying that everything had been solved, there was a few teeth and problems, I was simply pointing to the fact that as late as yesterday, there were articles based on evidence to the contrary. This is not about the SDLP trying to be populist. This is about saying that this is a system that is broken. It's not just us saying it, the evidence is there. This will affect people in work. It will push more people into poverty. And this is all happening in a political vacuum with no oversight or scrutiny.
So, Nicola, because I guess when the suggestion that it's a populist thing that you're doing here, the next question is, well, what's your alternative? There are issues in terms of debt. There are issues within the benefit system that have to be sorted out, and they are trying to bring the benefits bill down. So what is the SDLP suggesting that we do if we don't bring in universal credit?
Okay, so what we're saying is that we believe there should be reform of the benefit system. We believe that it's right that it should be simplified and that people should be encouraged into finding work.
Okay.
So we're believing, yes, there should be reform. The proposals for reform under the Labour government were much different than what they are under this Tory government. So what we're saying is...
Nicola, you didn't answer the question. What's your reform?
Well, what we're saying is that you...
What's your reform? And how much is it going to cost? And where are you going to take this? Where are you going to take this money from? Are you going to take it from health? Are you going to take it from something else or education? Well, exactly is your reform?
Let her answer. Nicola, what is your answer to this?
So what we're saying is that, there needs to be reform. If we look at universal credit, it's unacceptable. Yes, it's right to move to simplification of benefits. It's unacceptable.
You're dodging the answer, Nicola.
Hold on a second, Graham. Let her finish. Okay? So what we're saying is that having people wait 6 to 10 weeks is unacceptable. The sanctions element is unacceptable. We need to look at all of that. The fact that it's solely reliant on digital is unacceptable. The two child tax credit, where people are being penalised for having a third child, Erwin made the point before that we can't be expecting children, our children and our children's children to pay for it. That's exactly what that policy does. So we have said...
But there you go. And I think the point Graham's trying to make to you, Nicola, is that you're very good at criticising universal credit and the different issues you have with that and that system. But in terms of suggesting an alternative, you know, the SDLP don't seem to have one. It's just let's not do what they're saying.
No, I don't accept that. I think what we've said is that we're willing to look at reform. Have we got a comprehensive document setting out how much that would cost and what it would exactly look like? I don't have that in front of me. But what we're saying is that, yes, there needs to be reform. Benefits need to be simplified. People need to be encouraged into work. And there needs to be job creation. So you need a strategy sitting alongside that. So we're not saying, no, this is all wrong. Do nothing. Keep as is. We're open to conversations about it. But what we're saying is that in a few days, actually tomorrow, this system, which has proven to be broken and caused extreme hardship where it has been implemented, is going to start to be rolled out. And what we're saying is, are we all just going to stand by and allow that to happen?
Okay, Nicola and Erwin, stay there. Erwin, Lord Freud, who created this system, in terms of issues within it, he has himself said that it will take some decades to optimise what we are building. So this is going to take decades to perfect. So if there are issues within it, we know there have been, it doesn't sound like it's going to be that slick system anytime soon.
Well, I think there are very few areas where it's been rolled out in its totality. And for complex benefits claimants, it still stayed in the old system in England. There have to work through the issues. But that's not an
for decades, though.
Yeah. But is
that acceptable?
Yeah, but everything we do improves. You know, you get your iPhone, the software is upgraded every few weeks.
Of course
weeks.
It is, but the difference is with your iPhone or whatever your smartphone and the software that's in it, you don't need it to pay the bills, to put electric in, to buy food for your kids, buy nappies, whatever it is. So this is, it's not quite the same.
Yeah, but I think Nicola mentioned this. There are provisions for temporary payments for people who are in need. You know, this system does not say you're not getting any money for 5 or 6 weeks. It says it takes 5 or 6 weeks to process. But if you are in desperate need in the middle of it, there is an allowance to make a temporary payment to get you through the difficult period.
Okay.
You cannot continue in a world where we are spending money we don't have.
Yeah, and no one is suggesting that we do that. Nicola's not suggesting that. The suggestion is universal credit the way to go? And should we be given any kind of special conditions here in Northern Ireland? Do we merit that?
But number one, I think Nicola described a system which was universal credits. Everything she said about simplifying it and doing everything is actually the universal credit system. We have had tweaks to it in Northern Ireland, and those have been, as far as I'm aware from the local civil servants, are included in the implementation of it. But we have a situation where in England and Wales, I'm not quite so sure about Scotland at the moment, but in England and Wales, the system is being rolled out, and we are getting $10 billion a year. So do we expect taxpayers in England and Wales to give us more money so we have a more liberal system? I just don't think that's fair.
Okay, John and Donamana. Good morning, John.
Erwin Armstrong, you call
it? It is indeed.
Yes. Mr. Armstrong talks there about 6 weeks. You have those 6 weeks, you get these special payments or anything else. No, you start off in universal credit. You start off in debt because you have to pay those payments back. So whatever meagre amount of money you're getting to survive on anyway, money is deducted from it then for the next 6 months to cover the hardship payments. These hardship payments aren't free. You know, Mr. Armstrong's making it sound as if it is. Mm-hmm. At the end of the day, universal credit is broken. The system is no good on the mainland. But it was Paul Girvan of the DUP who, before the Assembly collapsed, he said, oh, we'll get it to work in Northern Ireland. We'll get it to operate. Isn't it very strange that the only people that seem to speak up for people on benefits, and I myself am a Protestant now, the only people seem to do it are Sinn Féin and the SDLP. The Ulster Unionists, the DUP, they must all think that their voters aren't in benefits. They must all think that we live in the land of utopia. Because they have 312,000 households are going to suffer.
Yes.
And at the end of the day, people that are disabled, people that are sick, are going to have their benefit reduced. Some by £39 a week.
Yeah, more than 100,000 will be worse off because of cuts to their disability premiums and self-parent allowances.
Yes, and another thing too, the vulnerable, those that cannot read or write, those that have no understanding of computers. I mean, I know a couple of people in that position, have no idea about emails or anything else. How are these people going to cope? How are they going to cope with having an email address and having broadband? At the end of the day, some homes don't have internet access, and maybe their nearest library is maybe 12, 14 miles away.
John,
how are these people going to cope?
Do you think, John, that we should be a special case here in Northern Ireland?
We are a special case.
What would be the argument you would make for that?
The argument I would make, well, at the end of the day, I'm not just saying we should make a special case. Universal credit is broken in the mainland as well. If you go to the mainland, to England, Scotland or Wales, they'll tell you the exact same thing. The system, it's not that we're a special case. Universal credit is a special kind of broken, for it's not fit for purpose. It cannot cope with, and I think the only thing it can cope with is a single person. It can cope with a single person claim. If you go into a couple or family claims, the thing crashes, it falls to bits. It's absolutely and totally useless.
Nicola Mullen, do you think that we should scrap universal credit completely? Should they just try and adjust it? And what are the cost implications on postponing it, as your party is calling for?
Well, I think that at a minimum, we need to look at halting its rollout, because as John says, and he's painted the picture very clearly of its impact, where it has been implemented. A simple thing, like, you know, if you're stuck and you need to phone a helpline, it's 12p per minute. And we know from across the way that there's huge waiting lists. So people are spending a fortune, people who don't have enough money to get help.
It's 12p a minute to ring the Universal Credit Helpline?
Yes. Yes. And he's right, John is absolutely right. You aren't given money to help bridge the gap between your first up to your first payment. It is a loan and you get up to 50%, but you must pay that back. And in some cases, people are being asked to pay it back within 2 to 3 months. And that's a huge amount out of their monthly income.
Exactly, if they're not making a salary. That's what links back then, Nicola, to these claims that it could push claimants into debt. So you're on a low income as it is. Maybe you're working at subsidised with benefits, but either way, you're not bringing a lot of money in. So if you then start taking repayments out of that, it's going to make it even more difficult. And then this spiral of debt could create.
Well, I mean, it has been proven. It's not just claims that where it has been implemented, we've seen an increase in the number of people going to payday loans and to loan sharks. And, I mean, Erwin is a businessman, and you would ask Erwin, him and I may not, we may agree that the welfare system needs reformed. We will not agree on the way that it should be reformed. But what I would ask Erwin is, as a businessman, would he roll out a system that has been proven to be disastrous in other areas?
No, Erwin says they've sorted it out now. All the bugs have been ironed out of the system.
Well, I don't know where Erwin is getting his evidence from that.
The man responsible, David Gough.
And the advice sector across the water, and even yesterday here in Northern Ireland, have come out with a united voice to say that this is not working across the way. So there clearly is some discrepancy there. But I would just ask, if he's a businessman, would he roll this out affecting his customers? Would he allow his customers to be left for 6 weeks, possibly up to 10 weeks without any payment? Would he have a helpline that was extortionate in terms of its cost? You know, and that's the question. And if the answer is no, then why are we doing this to citizens who are vulnerable? And it's not just people out of work, it's people in work.
Okay.
And as John said, the disabled are going to be hit particularly hard.
Let's go back to the phones. John in South Belfast. Good morning, John. Go ahead.
Morning, Vinnie. My question's to Erwin there.
I think Erwin might have always back there. Go ahead, Erwin. John wants to have a chat with you. Say good morning.
Good morning, John.
Morning, Erwin. Earlier in the programme, you mentioned about the taxpayer complaining about having to pay these benefits.
Yes.
Well, I'm a taxpayer, and I have no problem paying people benefits if they are duly entitled to them.
Exactly.
Because someday I might be disabled or in need of a benefit. And the other mathematical question I want to ask is, do you think people with benefits don't spend money? Because if you give somebody a pound and a benefit, and they spend that pound, how much of that pound come back into the exchequer?
Yeah, but if people are working and not getting benefits, then there is no cost to the exchequer, I think is the point.
John, what do you say? Lord, I keep going back to this Lord Freud, who's come up with the universal credit system. He himself said that, you know, they had to bring this in because the benefit system was an over-comfortable safety net.
No, well, I would say the reason to bring it in is to stop fraud.
Well, it's probably a combination of maybe to stop fraud, but also they were trying to reduce the benefits bill and they're trying to get people back to work. He goes on to say, you know, it kept families trapped on benefits and those who were working were wondering why they were bothering.
My personal experience with it is that if you're genuinely sick, you have a hell of a fight in your hands to try and get help.
Do you think we should be a special case here, John?
Yes.
Why, though? You understand when people that pay their taxes, maybe they live in England, in Scotland, and they see more money coming here to help us out, so we can...
No, but I don't believe that. There's a bit more money coming here. That's a load of nonsense.
So what do you think? That's just spin?
It's just spin, yeah. Yeah.
Okay, Lawrence, the same field. Lawrence, go ahead.
Honey, we've been told there by your speakers that the country is billions in debt and we can't spend money that we don't have. Yet, Mayoral, this morning we hear MLAs are getting £500 of a pay rise. The House of Lords, they get £300 a day for appearing, plus all their expenses.
So it was 500 last March.
We looked at the money that has been spent on government.
So 500 last March and then 500 next March. Do you think is that unfair in terms of the people that are meant to run the country?
It's completely unfair. Government from council right through to MPs is costing this country an absolute fortune. And they're not worth the money they've been spent on them. The other thing, we have no money, the government's in debt. Yet, Mayor, they can give the Queen, who has loads of money, millions to fix up Buckingham Palace. They can spend money on foreign aid. Anything they want, it's there. But when it comes to looking after the sick and the poor, they don't want to know. Take the money off them. That's what they're doing.
Of course, Lawrence, there is an independent body that sets the pay, so to an extent that it is out of the hands of the MLAs.
But it's ridiculous. £500, that's £10 a week. And they're wanting to take £39 a week off disabled. Yeah, and the money they're getting is more than adequate. The government tells us that the minimum wage is £6 something. You should be able to live in that there. But yet, me all, they're giving these MPs, councillors, all the rest of it, thousands and thousands of pounds plus all their expenses. It's time the country stood up. They can't afford the government to keep getting the money that they're getting.
Okay, Lawrence, thank you. Brian and Lambeg. Brian, go ahead.
Hi, Vinny.
Good morning.
Why is it every time there's a Conservative government that this idea that the unemployed and the disabled are fair game? Whatever happened to the word empathy in our society?
What do you mean?
Well, the way our society goes, every time you do a feature on unemployed or disabled getting benefits, you get the usual suspects coming on shouting about how they're spongers. I know they're going on 3 holidays a year to Jamaica and all this usual nonsense. In our society, the majority of people who are unemployed don't want to be unemployed. And in our society, every disabled person wants to not be disabled, but to be penalised for something that they have no control over.
Well, the Tory mantra, Brian, is that, you know, they're bringing in these reforms because they're trying to help people on benefits get off them and into work because they feel that some people are trapped on benefits.
Well, that's a load of nonsense, Vinny. The Tory mantra is, let's punish the poor and the disabled. As your Conservative businessman there, I can't remember his name, sorry, was quite confident to say, oh, but the national debt is £1.7 trillion. 50% of that £1.7 trillion has been caused by the over the last 5 years by the current Conservative government. Why? Because they won't chase the large multinational business and their cushy friends in like the Uber to pay the taxes that they're meant to pay within the confines of the United Kingdom. This is total nonsense. Empathy goes out the window every time Conservatives come into power. That's why they are such a vile, vile party.
Okay.
They don't care about anybody.
Okay, Brian, I want to move on just to Elizabeth at this point because we're just a bit tight for time. Elizabeth, go ahead. Last call on this for now.
Good morning, Vinny.
Good morning.
One of your contributors there said about we can't live, we have to live within our means. There's no money.
Yes.
I don't agree with that. If the government can afford billions over years to refurbish Westminster House of Commons, whatever. No, that is wrong. Also,
Of course, we saw as well, Elizabeth, recently they launched, was it this huge warship which cost billions and is still not finished?
Yes, exactly. And they're sending millions of pounds to these islands that have been hit by natural disasters.
Yes.
Now, I watched a programme last night on BBC 4 to do with people in England. And I guarantee you look it up on your television, it's an absolute disgrace.
Okay.
Absolute disgrace.
Elizabeth, thank you. Nicola, you want in for one more yeah. word before we move on?
I just want to say, this is about choices. And if governments are comfortable bailing out banks to millions of pounds, then why are they so comfortable and they shouldn't get away with punishing the poor?
Okay. Nicola Mallon and Erwin Armstrong, thank you.